Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, and with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you doing? Staying alive?
I am, well, to be honest, whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you are staying alive.
You know, that's a really good point.
But like, I mean, what if you're a sister or a father?
Well, if you're a father, you could potentially be a brother.
What if you're merely a child? So, I mean, like, is everybody else screwed?
No, they're just in limbo until they can become a brother or a mother, and then they get to stay alive.
Oh, I see. Well, that in many ways, then, that sort of puts your fate in the hands of others.
It does. And the way this is going, I'm having a hard time deciding. Are we doing daily observations or context machine right now?
Well, you know, I don't really, I don't know. I don't know. It's just that particular line is just, it's just really bad.
Yeah. And just because there are people out there that have no idea what we're talking about, I'm going to put iTunes link to Staying Alive in the show notes today.
All right. That works. That works.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah. Our,
well, hey, as long as we're here, I thought we could do some follow-up because yesterday's show got a lot of comments. And for those of you that haven't had a chance to listen to yesterday's show yet, stop procrastinating. No, wait. Yesterday's show, Brian and Dave joined me so we could share some of our first impressions on iPhone 6S. And yeah, so we got a lot of feedback. And some of that feedback, well, a substantial chunk of that feedback, related to our discussion about Touch ID being so fast that we miss seeing what's on the notification screen. And Dave's suggestion was that Apple could change that so that if you have notifications, when you hit the home button and Touch ID unlocks the phone, it leaves those notifications on the screen.
To be fair, he suggested it as an option.
Right. Yes, that was an option. Default. Right. Yes. Yes, that's absolutely right. And so I like how Lauren Sims wrapped this up. And I will do my best to add the proper emotion to this email. Wait a minute. Manually dismiss notifications every time you unlock your iPhone? No! Just activate your phone with a finger that is not set up in Touch ID. And Lauren goes on to say that Dave's solution or suggestion would become a royal pain after the first half hour. And the idea of hitting the home button with a finger that's not set up on Touch ID is not something that had even occurred to me. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah. That could work. I mean, the thing that Dave closed with on this particular topic is I think where I sit, which is that we're going to adjust to this, and it's just a matter of having even just a few more days to actually do so.
And that plays in with some of the comments that I got on Twitter, where people were saying that what we really need to do is retrain ourselves to use the power button and use that instead of pressing the home button.
So we're holding it wrong?
We're holding it wrong, yes. And I've been holding it wrong for, what is this, year 7 for the iPhone?
I think, though, that what we're going to instead do, though, is simply learn to not keep our thumb on the home button. If we're home button users for waking our device up, we're going to change the way we do this, right? Something is going to change. We're not going to stop using our iPhones. We're not going to throw them away. We're not going to, you know, like, you know, throw them against the wall and say this is stupid because I can't see my notifications. Something's going to change. We're either going to start using the other button, which would be the wake sleep button, mm-hmm. or the power button, depending on who you're asking, or we're going to simply learn that we don't keep our thumb there. That if we push that home button, we're going to move it quickly so we can see our notifications. If that's what we want to do. We'll adjust this one way or the other.
Yeah, we'll adjust. And
probably some people will move over to the sleep wake button.
And, right? And I'm guessing that ultimately that's what I will end up doing. Because I don't think that – well, I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to master the just the right touch to be able to wake up my phone without unlocking it. But, man, that's so fast on the 6S.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, you probably will adjust.
Yeah, I probably will. Yeah. Now, Urkel said that the
sleep. I doubt that that's a real name.
Maybe not. But that's the name that we have. So
all right, well, let's go with it.
Yeah. So Urkel says. Just what you said, we have the sleep wake button, and points out that when you press the sleep wake button, whatever notifications you have will still be there because you haven't actually unlocked the phone. And that's absolutely right. So my guess is, because that will probably be the path of least resistance for me, that's the path I will go down. I have 7 years of hitting the home button to unlearn. And once I get that down, then I'll be a sleep-wake button person.
I personally think that I'm probably going to get to the point where I'm just like, quick draw McGraw on the home button.
That'll be pretty awesome.
I'll do the president around here.
and I'll just be El Kabong and have to move over to the other button.
Ask your parents if you have no idea what we're talking about. And I apologize for the terrible quick draw impression, but
you know, I knew what you were going for, and I rolled with it. Hey, Urkel had another comment, which is in line with a lot of the other responses that we got to yesterday's show, and this was about Wi-Fi Assist. And Urkel says that they don't think it's a FUD issue because most people don't use granular cellular settings to control the app data sources, which makes sense. Most people are not me or you or Dave. And then
thank goodness for them.
That's actually a blessing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now Urkel says that while they have unlimited data plan, they have a family member that has a prepaid with only 500 meg. And if they didn't change their Wi-Fi Assist setting to off, then that could potentially create really huge bills for them. So I hadn't thought about people with really low data caps, and I could see why in that case you would want to be very strict about what is using your cellular connection.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I'm with Dave, where we need to wait several months and see how this plays out before we make before we proclaim whether or not this is a good or a bad feature. Because we need to see exactly how this really works. And all we've had is, this is Tuesday. So we've had, 4 days now? That's not enough time to really know if this is going to be a big problem for people.
Yeah, early days.
Yeah, early days. And yeah, so thank you for the feedback, people. You guys rock. And just so you know, Lauren, I've tried doing the alternate finger for Touch ID, and the problem I'm running into is that I set up my iPhone so all of the fingers that are most convenient for me based on the way I carry my iPhone are set for Touch ID. So I have to pick a weird finger to not.
Or you could actually be realistic and remove the least used finger.
That's just not, crazy not,
not
talk,
from,
Brian.
Not from your hand.
Oh, okay.
From touch ID.
Yes, I could totally do that too. Yeah. But while I've been having, it's kind of funny to watch me trying to do what Lauren suggested. But nonetheless, it was really clever because when I hit the home button, it worked exactly like they said. And I'm thinking, wow, why didn't I come up with that before? Probably because I'm not quite as clever. So thank you for that awesome tip. Now, Brian, we also have a really cool piece on our site that you put together yesterday about 3D Touch and some cool apps that have 3D Touch support in them already. And it just made me think we should probably dive a little bit more into the whole 3D Touch thing.
Yeah, I like 3D. What am I saying there? I love the idea of 3D Touch. It's still new to me. It's something that I want to incorporate into my daily use of the device because it is, I think, it just seems like it's a natural way to interact with your device. And I want for it to become part of my everyday iPhone usage. Matter of fact, I have already found myself trying to do 3D Touch on my iPad Air.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. For what that's worth. But yeah, so we just rounded up 10 solid apps that already have 3D Touch built into it, and so that people can start playing with it above and beyond, you know, mail and some of the system level stuff.
Which is awesome. And you have some really cool apps in there. You have one that I use every single day, OmniFocus.
Yep. So what about you when I put that down there? Have you used 3D Touch with that yet?
I have. And I need to experiment with it more so that I can really get the most out of it. Because right now what I've been using it for primarily is to bring up my task forecast. So instead of opening the app, I just firm press on the OmniFocus icon and then tap forecast. And so then it launches OmniFocus and takes me exactly to the view that I want.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then if I need to make a new task, well, there's new inbox item that's listed right there also. So it's saving me a couple taps each time I use it. And that's totally awesome.
That's just it. None of these 3D Touch is not one of those things that is going to be like, it's not going to revolutionize the way you work with your iPhone, but it's going to evolutionize.
Wow.
That's right. I went there. It's going to evolutionize the way you do stuff because they're all little changes. It's all little improvements with doing some basic tags. Like look at the Instagram thing. I haven't been using Instagram and saying to myself, you know, this app just doesn't work for me because tapping takes too long. Right? I doubt anyone's been saying that.
Probably not.
But there's two new features in particular that work in Instagram that are just, it's convenient. So if you are looking at a username, you can 3D Touch, and then it'll bring up a little sheet for that user. Gives you like some of their basic pictures and a little bit of their username and like how many followers they have. And while you're still pressing, if you then swipe up, the sheet becomes permanent and allows you to actually make choices.
The swipe up part I didn't know about.
Yes, oh, the swipe
that's
up.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really clever. And there was a couple other apps that did the swipe up to actually do something.
Yeah, Mail does that, which is nice. So if you press on an email message, it brings up a preview. And then if you swipe up, it gives you a bunch of options. And if you swipe left, it gives you the delete option. If you swipe right, then it gives you the leave as unread. I might have the left and right part backwards.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
If only we had a device we could test that on.
If only. Another app that...
Well, hold on. There was another one on Instagram too.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Do tell.
Same thing. So if you're looking at, say, the find tab, the discover tab, I think is what it's actually called. And if you're looking at images in a grid format, so actually this would also work with your own images in your me tab, you can 3D touch on an image, and again, it'll bring up that image in a sheet rather than taking you to that image. And then it, again, if you swipe up, it'll actually leave that image there for you to do, make additional choices.
There we go. Like, comment, or send message. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And so, you know, it keeps the grid beneath the sheet so that when it goes away, you're just right back where you were.
I love that. I've always been about economy of motion with the iPhone and the iPad. So the more tapping that I have to do to make something happen, the less I like an app. So adding in 3D touch, where now it's press and I'm just sliding my finger around, this is going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. Now here's a 3D touch thing that I've started using a lot, and that's when I'm in an app, I press firmly on the left edge of the screen, and then the app slides over a little bit, and you can see another app behind it. So it's like the last app you were using. So you can go back and forth between two apps very quickly that way. Or once the first app is slid over, if you press a little harder, then it takes you into that view you get when you double tap the home button, so you can see all of your active apps.
Yeah, you showed me this right before we started recording, and me likey.
Yeah. I was spending so much time just double tapping my home button to move between apps until 3D touch. And now I'm not having to move my hand around the screen, shift my position for the way I'm holding my phone, anything. I just move my thumb over to the edge of the screen, press and hold, and now I'm moving between apps.
Yeah, and again, we're not saying that, like, you know, oh my God, the iPhone was just sucked before and we didn't realize it. It's not that. This is about Apple having made an incremental improvement that is really, really clever, and it's good.
It is. Yeah. And I still love the iPhone 6 and loved the iPhone 5S and 5 before that. I've loved all my iPhones, but I'm especially liking having 3D touch. It's far more useful than I expected it to be, which is not to say that I didn't think it would have any useful traits. It's just even more useful than I expected. And that's really cool.
You know, I was super excited about it from the moment I saw it.
Well, I was very excited about it. I just didn't have a firm grasp until getting an iPhone 6S about how useful 3D touch was truly going to be. And as more apps adopt 3D touch, that's going to be really awesome. And I'm so hoping someone puts an Easter egg in one of their apps so that it can tell if you've pushed like crazy hard, harder than you normally push for anything, and then have it bring up a dialogue and ask if you're stressed or if you're upset and can it help.
Okay.
These are the things that I think about at night when I'm laying in bed.
This is why you can't sleep.
Yeah, this is why I can't sleep. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time.
Really? Already?
Already. I know. Time just flies when I'm hanging out with cool people like you.
Aww, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me today, Brian. You rock.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. And listeners, thank you so much for your feedback, not only for yesterday's show, but for every show that you want to talk with me about. I totally love that. And keep letting me know what you think about what we're doing. And when Brian has an opinion that's wrong, feel free to let me know about that too.
You can tell by the way I use my walk that I'm a woman's man. No time to talk.
Yeah, and you are staying alive. Staying alive.
And you know, you might be wondering why it is that I've been obsessing over the lyrics of Staying Alive. Can't get the song out of my head since I saw Bruce Springsteen's cover from 2014.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is an amazing cover. And also the Hell's Club film mashup.
The Hell's Club film mashup is amazing. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes too.
Yeah, we did the cool stuff found on it, but do another link because that's just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant piece of work.
It absolutely is. All right, listeners, thank you for joining us today, and you're going to have some cool links in today's show notes. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.